so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Oh, Jesus is coming. Shout for joy. Joy is a word we see and hear everywhere at Christmas. Joy to the world is the message of the season. Joy is the theme of this day. 3 weeks ago, we lit the hope candle and remembered the promise that the light shines in the darkness. 2 weeks ago, we lit the peace candle, a symbol of the promise of the coming Prince of Peace. Last week, we lit the love candle, reminding us that Jesus is perfect love in human form. Today, we light the joy candle.
Four candles burning bright, chasing away the darkness from light. Four candles glowing bright, the blessing of God giving new sight. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters.
Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Please join us in prayer. Dear strong and mighty God, by the power of the Spirit, who created the earth and everything in it,
create in us pure hearts and renew within us the joy fulfilled in Bethlehem, so that we may share fully in your glory. In the name of the King who comes and comes again, we pray. Amen.
Last weekend, I was watching Saturday Night Live. And during Weekend Update, they had a segment with Kate McKinnon as Dr. Wayne We Notice. And the joke is always just lots of puns about We Notice. And she was on to give an update on the COVID-19 vaccine. And as she was going through this whole segment, at one point, she sort of broke character. And Colin Jost, the Weekend Update host, looks at her and says, Kate, are you okay? And she goes, no, I'm not. And there was this one line that stood out to me. She said, it's like there's light at the end of the tunnel, but the light is showing us how stinky and bad the tunnel really is. And of course, I got lots of laughs, but also I found myself just thinking, I hear you. I get it. Right? I think we get the sense of when there's light at the end of the tunnel and we're so close to things being the way we want them to be, that it just can be so hard to hold on, so hard to wait, right? Christmas is 5 days away, but we're not there yet, right? It's, you know, we've got those gifts sitting there. Some of us maybe are those who have a hard time waiting to give gifts. I know for myself, I'm one who, once I've got a gift, I just want to give it, right? It's, come on, Christmas has got to get here. I want to give that gift, right? A vaccine is on its way. Life, the signs that we're going to be able to return to some semblance of normal soon, it's coming, but we're not there yet, right? Or maybe we're living in a place in our lives where things are improving in a relationship, perhaps, right? Or we feel like we're becoming more the person we want to be. We are becoming more patient and gracious and thankful. But we see those signs that we're not that person yet, right? We're reminded that we're not there yet. And this morning, I want to pick up with a story that comes to us after the birth of Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry. But it's one that I think is really fitting for us on this Sunday before Christmas, to think about what it's like to be there sort of immediately before the light breaks through, right? To see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's not there yet. And this comes to us from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. And I just want to read this whole story to get a sense for the whole picture. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." this is a pivotal moment in the story of Jesus, right? This is the moment where Jesus, the child whose birth we are going to celebrate this week, becomes the teacher who is going to live publicly and begin to demonstrate what it means that the kingdom of God is coming into fruition. Right? He is going to show very clearly what it is that he is about. A message of repentance, a message that how the world is supposed to be is on its way. But today's story starts in a dark place. Right? It begins with these words. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, in Matthew's account of Jesus' life, the last thing that happens is that he is out in the wilderness being ministered to by angels, right? He's just been tempted at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 says Jesus was ministered to by the angels. This is the last thing that happens. Now, we know that from other versions of Jesus' life, we know that some time has passed. But in Matthew's telling, these things are side by side. Being ministered to angels and stepping out with John in prison, stepping out into public ministry. And I think that's important because Jesus is going to leave the comfort zone of being in the presence of God's angels in order to go right into the thick of ministry, to go right into the thick of being about the kingdom of God. Right? There is a sense in which Jesus has to leave behind what's known and comfortable to step out into the unknown, to step out into the work of fixing what's broken in the world. Now, I know for myself, I am really, really looking forward to 2021. Or at least maybe summer 2021 and beyond, right? How many times have we sort of seen and heard and talked about sort of that when all of this is over? And you know, I was thinking about something this week, and I'm sorry for sort of to have a bit of a downer on this, but I was thinking back to the end of 2019. At the end of 2019, the last Sunday of 2019, our youth pastor Brian gave the sermon that day. And I remember that sermon because he talked about how 2019 had been such a difficult year for so many people. And he talked about how hard it had been for him, and I found myself listening to that sermon going, yeah, 2019 was rough. Right, 2020 is going to be our year. And then 2020 happened. And so I'm sort of reminded of that because as much as we look ahead to 2021 and we think, yes, 2021 is going to be our year, the light at the end of the tunnel may mean that we're about to leave our comfort zone. Right? The light at the end of the tunnel may mean that 2021 is going to bring challenges that we cannot anticipate. But here's the thing, and here's what I need us to know, and here's what I need us to hold on to. I can't tell you what 2021 is going to bring. I have to imagine that 2021 is going to be a better year overall than 2020 was. But even though I can't tell us what 2021 is going to bring, I don't have that foresight, and it's only with the hindsight at the end of 2020 that I can sort of give this analysis. I can't tell you what 2021 will bring, but I can tell you that God will be with us no matter what it brings. I can tell you that no matter what 2021 is going to bring, that God, when we are aligned with what God is asking us to do, when we step out in faith, when we step out into the work of God's kingdom, that God is with us, giving us peace, giving us hope, giving us love, giving us joy every single step of the way. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy, right? Jesus' ministry certainly was not always easy. But when we step out in faith and trust into who God is calling and leading us to be, friends, that is where we need to be. When we align ourselves with what God wants, that's how life should be lived. And it's not always going to be easy. It may mean being called to leave behind our comfort zone. But I promise you that God is with us. And when we hold in front of us that bigger picture of God's kingdom, then all of the ways that 2020 has been hard, they're brought into a different focus, right? This has been hard, and the light's at the end of the tunnel, and maybe it's exposing for us, it's showing us just how hard and difficult this is, and it's getting it hard to hold on and wait. But friends, I gotta tell you, We need to be holding on to that bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. We need to hold in front of us that bigger picture of a God who is fixing what's broken everywhere. What matters isn't my idea of how the world should be. What matters is not my idea of how I want my life to look. What matters is what God is doing. What matters is His kingdom. That's what we hold in front of us. That's what leads us out of the comfort zone, out of maybe that place where right now maybe we're feeling ministered to by angels, but it's time to step out. Which leads us into verses 13 through 15. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now we're going to stop there because we're going to come back to verse 16 in just a minute. But here we have again this sort of foresight and hindsight interplay. Right, with Jesus-shaped hindsight, Matthew looks back at Isaiah chapter 9 and says, there's something there that we need. Isaiah chapter 9 was, it's actually just after what we looked at last week in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah is saying, look, things are really rough with King Ahaz, but I promise you, light is on the way. I promise you, things are going to get better. And Matthew says that wasn't just about then. There's something that Isaiah was tapping into. The message that God had for Isaiah was about a deep-seated need that we have for the light of the world who is going to break in and fix what's broken. And Isaiah chapter 9 talks about Capernaum, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, as Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, a little note on Capernaum. Right, Galilee is located up in northern Israel. It's a province that's composed of about 204 villages and some maybe 15,000 people or so. And the Jews in Jerusalem would actually refer to Galilee as the quote-unquote region of death. Because throughout Israel's history, the Gentiles would sort of constantly wage war in this area. And because this was such a region on the border, on the edge of Israel, a region that was so close to sort of the other people groups around them, there was a lot of mixed marriages. There was a lot of Gentile influence, right? The sort of upstanding, good, faithful Jews, they would go to Jerusalem because that's where you had sort of religious purity. That's where you had, you could trust that sort of it was all people who thought similarly, not everybody, but you know, you get what I'm saying. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to go to Galilee. I'm going to go where the outcasts are. I'm going to go on the edges of society. I'm going to go on the fringes of society. I'm going to go to the place where the people are looked down on, the place where people maybe sound a little bit different, where people look a little bit different, where people are the ones that nobody wants to be with. That's where I'm going to be. Jesus, ministered to by angels, feels called to step forth into ministry, and he goes right into the heart of where people are on the outskirts of society. He sets up his headquarters among those who are sitting in a darkened region in the midst of ones who are looked down on by their fellow countrymen. And the same is still true today. Jesus looks for those who feel unworthy, those who feel like they can't possibly be loved, those who feel rejected, those who feel like they are on the periphery, those who are on the edges, those who are in the dark. The person who feels most out of it is the one with whom Jesus is most ready to set up his headquarters. Jesus sends a very clear message from the beginning of his ministry, the same message that his birth sends at Christmas. Right on Christmas morning, his first visitors, they're not the high and mighty, they're not the elite of society. No, they're poor, lowly shepherds. They're foreign astrologers who wouldn't have been welcomed into the average home in that day. The message with which Jesus begins his earthly ministry is the same as that of Christmas morning. Jesus, the birth of Jesus, is good news of great joy for all people. Not just the ones who are already on the inside, not just the ones who look like us or speak like us or think like us, but it is for all people. And so Matthew continues in verse 16. He says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In other words, darkness is certainly true, right? The darkness that we feel and experience in our life and in our world, it is certainly true, but it is not the fundamental truth. No, the fundamental truth is the light that is breaking in. The fundamental truth is the good news that there is light that shines in the darkness that has not, cannot, and will not be overcome. Now, in my experience, sometimes in the Christian community, we can be really good at sort of focusing on the second half of that there is light. And sometimes I find that it can be challenging for us to actually admit that the darkness is real and that it's hard. And so, friends, part of what I want you to know is that if you are feeling like this is a hard, difficult time, if you are struggling with anxiety and depression, if you are struggling because this is just a challenging time and you want it to be better, God can handle your frustrations. It is okay to acknowledge that there is darkness. And acknowledging that darkness does not undo the fundamental truth of the light that shines in the darkness. It acknowledges that there are places that the light is not yet reaching and that this world is not yet the way it should be. And we can acknowledge that and still hold fast and cling to the truth that the light is shining and growing. But we can never, ever lose sight of that fundamental truth. And so maybe right now we are feeling how dark and stinky and dirty the tunnel is as the light is shining at the end of the tunnel. But the light has the power to break whatever darkness is in our lives. Whatever stinks in the tunnel of our lives, the light has the power to break it, to overcome it, to bring us into a new life. It may give us, the light of Jesus may give us patience for difficult circumstances. Right? We can be patient when things go against us, and we can be thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? The light may shine. And you know, one of the classic uses of God's law, of how things are supposed to be, one of the theological uses that we've understood is that the law helps us see how we're not living up to the way things should be, right? This summer, Lord willing, we're going to do a series on the Ten Commandments because we need to be reminded that there are ways that we are not yet living into how things should be. And that's part of what God does for us is the Holy Spirit convicts us of where that brokenness and darkness still is. Right, the light of Jesus Christ may give us the power we need to break free from addiction. Right? It may give us the power we need to have hope that God can heal that broken relationship. It may give us the ability to forgive somebody who we didn't know how to forgive. To be gracious and loving to the person with whom we disagree. There is light at the end of the tunnel. We notice. But there's more. In chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew then concludes by saying, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus' proclamation, right, that the kingdom of heaven is coming near, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's sort of the first flicker of light, right? The candle has been lit. It is shining in the darkness. And that light is going to grow and burn among Jesus' followers. Because it's in the Gospel of Matthew that the kingdom of heaven comes near and Jesus says to his followers, you are the light of the world. The light is beginning to shine in the darkness through Jesus, but God uses us to bring that light into the darkness. Friends, right now, I recognize that this is such a challenging and difficult time, and it's so easy for us to get sort of to lose sight of what it is that is the central focus. And friends, the central focus has to be on building the kingdom of God. It's not about preserving the church or a church or any church. You know, this week I saw an article by the Barna Group who gave some alarming statistic on the number of churches who aren't going to survive in the next 18 to 24 months. And that's sad. That's hard. But friends, the heart of the kingdom of God, the light of the world, is not the church. The light of the world is the followers of Jesus. And ideally, yes, the church is the place where you are empowered and equipped and encouraged to be the grace and encouraged in the grace and love of Jesus to carry that good news into the world, to carry that good news to the last, the least, the lowly, to those on the outskirts of society, to those who don't yet know the good news of Jesus Christ, to those who don't yet know the darkness that they're living in and don't yet know the ways that there is hope and love and joy and peace. But friends, the central focus cannot, does not need to be on preserving the institution of the church. It's about getting closer to Jesus. I read a story this week of Eric Larson, who's a journalist and an author who now has several books. But when he was first starting, he told a story how his publicist had booked him a book tour. And one of his first stops, he's in this huge auditorium, and there's nobody there. There's one person sitting in the back row of the auditorium. And he says, well hey, it's just you and me. Do you want to move closer to the front? And this woman sitting in the very back of the auditorium says, no thanks. I might want to leave early. Friends, I think part of what it means to follow Jesus is that the teacher, our rabbi, Jesus, is inviting us to come closer to the front, inviting us to just be closer to him. And as we gather and grow closer to him, the light is going to shine in the darkness. The more that we move closer and closer to Jesus, the more that we find ourselves being somebody who walks in step with him. The more we find ourselves as people who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, loving and joyful and patient and peaceful and kind and gracious and gentle and self-controlled. The fruit of the Spirit isn't things that we manufacture, right? The light that breaks through into the darkness, it's not about us sort of helping ourselves to fix ourselves. No, it is about getting closer to Jesus. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more that that light is going to overcome the darkness in the world and in our lives. And as we grow closer and closer to Jesus, as we move closer to the front of the auditorium, closer to Jesus, we see more clearly the light at the end of the tunnel. We come closer and closer to the light. And then amazingly, beautifully, wonderfully, mysteriously, Jesus will shine the light, his light, through us to the folks who are still waiting in darkness, who still need to know that Jesus loves them and is with them and is giving them hope for their own tunnel, for their own darkness. And friends, the more that we focus on knowing the love and grace of Jesus Christ, the more that we just come close to the message of the good news of Jesus, the baby born in the manger, the more we know unspeakable joy. Amen. Friends, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, shine your light in the darkness of our lives. Where that darkness still holds on, break through. God, help us to move closer, closer, closer to you. And then, the closer we get to you, use us to shine your light, your wonderful, amazing, powerful light. God, empower us, give us courage to step forth with boldness into the unknown, to leave behind our comfort zone, to follow you more closely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Friends, receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. Just a reminder, we have a candlelit Christmas Eve service outside on Thursday evening at 5 o'clock with masks and social distancing. So we really look forward to celebrating the birth of Christ together Thursday evening, 5 o'clock. See you then.